Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Thank you for joining us this holiday weekend, Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. Not really sure when you're listening to it, but either way, it's thank you for taking time, especially on these days, to do so, because gee whiz, don't you have better things to do than listen to me? I certainly don't have any better things to do than broadcast, I guess, but that's just me anyway. But I want to thank you for tuning in. And if you have nothing better to do after this, you can go visit MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, because I appreciate how the Main Street Radio Network has allowed this program and the Al and Nathan Show to exist. They're various sponsors of Main Street Radio Network. Have come up in the past saying, hey, the content on these shows is awful, take it down or we'll abandon you. Main Street Radio Network remained steadfast through all of that and said, nope, we may not agree with them, but we support their right to talk and we will stand by them. So we want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for doing that. Also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this program. Now for our social media pages, you can go to Main Street Radio Network on Facebook or Main Street Radio on Twitter. Or for the Al and Nathan Show, it's alandnathan.com or at Al and Nathan on Twitter. Also, you can find the Silk or Joe Show on Getter, GETTR.com at Silk or Joe Show. Alrighty. So I am sitting here looking at a couple of articles about just such a nice duplicity that we're seeing here from our leaders. For example, the RNC, when very clearly there was severe election issues in Arizona, they packed up and left. At no point, despite the RNC occasionally paying lip service to the idea that election fraud may happen, at no point have they done anything about it. In fact, they've just been soaking up money. We've seen reports about what they've done with all that money that you give them, yachts and all sorts of stuff that has nothing to do with helping elections, fancy restaurants, just nothing at all to do with helping elections. That's what your money that you're donating to the RNC goes to. It goes to nothing since 2017, in fact. Hasn't gotten anything to help the party. They have no plan for winning elections. When it looks like they're going to win elections, we saw this past year that, in fact, they decide to pack up their bags and quit. Because after all those Trump candidates swept the primaries with such a wide popularity, the RNC said, well, we can't win this election now. Even though these candidates were super popular and the Biden administration was super unpopular, there was a strong chance of winning. But the RNC decided, you know what, forget about it. And then when very open cases of election fraud came up, the RNC decided, well, you know what, we don't care. We're not even going to bother funding challenges to the blatant fraud that's being reported. Like in Arizona, for example, all these people who are reporting, hey, I can't vote at all, or they're doing this to me, or they're doing that to me, or they just threw my vote away. The RNC didn't give a crap. They took your money, packed up and left, made sure you didn't have a chance to vote, to have your vote counted. And now, thanks to Carrie Lake's lawsuit, she's gone to court, and we've actually had testimony from the people running the elections in Arizona, where they admit that they screwed up. They admit that on election day, they had some thing or other on the voting machines. It says here, the printer settings were switched on election day. That means that for election day, they changed how the ballots were counted and ensured that a bunch of ballots would not be counted. So RNC didn't care about that. If it weren't for Mike Lindell funding this lawsuit, then we never found out about that. Where's the RNC on this? They don't give a crap. They're too busy soaking up your money. And remember what they use it for. They don't bother using it to fund campaigns, apparently. We've seen the financial reports now. They just use it on their own personal expenditures. You know, for all the times that they've criticized the Black Lives Matter founder for soaking up a bunch of vulnerable people in a tough situation and spending it on mansions with airstrips, the RNC isn't much better. So, as I've said in the past, when it comes to donating to candidates, cut out the middleman. Donate straight to the candidate you want. Don't give to the RNC. Don't give them a cent, because they're not going to spend it on what you want. They're going to spend it on what they want. They're probably going to withhold money from your candidate if the person's worth a lick. And that's what happened during this previous election cycle, in fact. RNC, the House GOP group for deciding who gets money, the Senate group for deciding who gets money, they ran by Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy. They all withheld funds from candidates just because those candidates weren't establishment corrupt losers like them. And boy, have we seen how corrupt Mitch McConnell has with that omnibus spending bill, haven't we? Where that bill does a lot of harm. It gives up some Republican oversight for the next year until the next spending cycle in October. It funds $1.85 trillion plus continuing funds. We don't even know how much that's going to be. And what I mean by continuing funds is not only does this appropriate $1.85 trillion, but it also says if these some of these programs in there need more money, they can go ahead and get it whenever. So that's what they're voting on. They're voting to give away power to control who gets funding, at least until the next omnibus spending bill next year. And Mitch McConnell is all for giving up some of that control. It's like he didn't want to win the election, which, well, didn't I tell you earlier this year? He didn't want to win the election. The moment it looked like Republicans had a chance, he said, well, this election's unwinnable, not going to bother with it. And then he took money from candidates who needed it and gave it to some losers who didn't need it at all, who were relatively safe races because they were his friends. They would do what he wanted. It's the friends club now at the RNC. They don't care about you. They care about helping their friends, their special interests, and all of that. So again, if you like your candidate, donate to your candidate. Don't donate to the RNC or the Senate committee, Republican Senate committee, or RSCC, I think they call it, or the House Republican committees or whatever. Just don't bother with them. Donate to your guy. Anyway. But that also with that omnibus bill, we saw that there were a lot of pork was stuffed into that thing. And much of it, too, why the GOP got so many senators going for it was pork directed at retiring GOP senators. There's like 10 of them. And they all got sweetheart deals in that omnibus bill. So it's just really a mess. Thanks a lot, rhinos in charge. Now we're stuck with this, and I guess it's no wonder that they don't care if elections are rigged, because these certain people in power, they get to keep their power that way. I wonder how many Republican elections are similarly rigged. Does this knife cut both ways? Is it that they're so incurious about election meddling because it helps prop up some of the establishment candidates? I wonder if any primary races out there for some of these establishment folks didn't have election issues, because we know that the at least the Democrats have cheated in the primaries too. We saw that going on during the 2016 primaries. A lot of Bernie Sanders supporters in Nevada were talking about the cheating that they encountered that allowed Hillary Clinton to win. So it's not, maybe the Republicans are doing that too in some of the primary races. We don't know. There's no transparency here, and the Republican committee just does not care about investigating any of this. It's up to us, the citizens, and even if we find out what's going on, I wonder how much good will that do us? Although I guess it doesn't matter, we're going to be bankrupt as a country anyway, what with all this funding that we're doing for folks like Ukraine. Earlier, Zelensky came to the U.S. He gave a historic speech to the Congress about, oh, woe is me, give me money. And he might as well have just come up with a big old burlap sack with a dollar sign on it and said, hey guys, fill this, or handed out a donation plate or something. You know, it's amazing. Zelensky goes to Congress and he gets $50 billion. You ask for a fair election and you don't get it. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, they don't have fair elections over there. They banned the opposition party. They banned the media. They banned the church. So yet we're told that that's protecting democracy by giving $50 billion to a literal tyrant. I don't think so. But I guess maybe it's because these guys get a nice cut of that money. At least that's what we saw with the FTX thing, where we gave Ukraine aid money. Then the Ukraine turned around, gave that money to FTX. Then FTX gave that money to Democrat candidates and to Mitch McConnell and probably some other Republicans too, who then went on to vote for this omnibus spending bill, which is nothing but a sweetheart deal for Democrats. It does nothing for the Republican agenda, cripples the Republican agenda, in fact, in some ways. And not only does it hit them by not allowing them to exercise control over the finances of the Biden administration, it fully funds some aspect things that they could otherwise blackmail the Biden administration over during the course of the next year in order to make sure the Biden administration doesn't go crazy with some other policies. It not only does it do that, but it also helps the open border situation. We have a huge crisis at the border, but the Biden administration is in denial of that, of course. And this omnibus bill does nothing but exacerbate it, because in that bill are some funding for various groups that are dedicated to making sure that when illegal immigrants get into this country, they disappear. They don't even go to detention centers. They just disappear. What encourages illegal immigration more than being, when you get here, not being held at all, just going right, skipping right ahead, going right throughout the country, anywhere you care to. That's what this bill funds. And then the same Republicans who voted for it went and gave a speech criticizing the Biden administration over their immigration policies. More Silk or Joe Show after this break.
The holiday hustle and bustle is in full swing as shoppers search for this year's best steals and deals. However, Paul Del Ponte, executive director for the National Crime Prevention Council, says consumers need to be cautious. Criminals are on the prowl online and off with lower cost price tags attached to counterfeit products.
It's easy to be tempted with a deal that's too good to be true. Many of today's most popular gifting items, like electronics, tech-based gadgets, and makeup, are often duped. That could mean defective wiring that can catch fire, or toxic chemicals that could put you or a loved one in harm's way.
More than 25 million fake products have been seized this year, but many more are out there circulating in today's online inventories.
No matter your age, it's important to learn how to spot a fake. Be on the lookout for incredibly low prices, stock photos while shopping online, and messy packaging. These are telltale signs of counterfeits. And always use secure websites and shop with companies you know and trust.
For more tips and information, go to ncpc.org/goforreal.
Rising prices are expected to impact U.S. households this holiday season. It's no surprise that homemade gift ideas is one of the most popular searches on Google in December. To help people save money during the holidays, many YouTube creators are showcasing how to make simple, fun, and inexpensive gifts at home. Christina Werner of K. Werner Designs walks viewers through the creation of a homemade card. Her popular YouTube videos have been watched more than 75 million times. She's part of a large community of U.S. creators making a living by helping others pick up new skills on YouTube. Entrepreneur Christina Werner.
I started my career designing catalogs for a paper crafting company, and I fell in love with stamping and scrapbooking and card making. And now I'm so happy that I get to share my passion with viewers and show how they can make easy and affordable gifts that their friends and family will love.
For more on Christina's holiday gift ideas, visit K. Werner Designs on YouTube.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year, remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Kind of picking up on a thread from the last segment, I think I see why Ukrainian President Zelensky went before Congress with his speech the other day. And it's because this omnibus bill coming up for vote has $110 billion dedicated to Ukraine and $858 billion dedicated for us. Joining us now to talk about $858 billion in this omnibus bill for defense spending in the U.S., we have Dr. Harlan Ullman. He is a retired U.S. Navy commander, senior advisor to the Atlantic Council, and creator of the Shock and Awe Principle. And he's been advising policymakers at the highest levels, including presidential candidates and top officials at the Department of State and the Department of Defense since the Cold War. And he's author of the book, The Fifth Horseman and the New Mad, How Massive Attacks of Disruption Became the Looming Existential Danger to a Divided Nation and the World at Large. Dr. Ullman, always happy to have you. How are you today?
Nice to be with you, and happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays to you, too, especially since this is airing Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So what's your take on this $858 billion in the omnibus bill?
Well, first of all, this omnibus bill is a bad joke. This is the reason why in my book, The Fifth Horseman, I say that the biggest problem we have here in America is a government that's failed and failing. This is outrageous. $1.7 trillion, and nobody knows what's in the bill. Nobody's read it. And so this is the fault of Republicans and Democrats equally. It's the way the governing process has been going for a long time, and Americans should really be very sick and tired of it. Having said that, you raised the $858 billion for defense. That is a huge, huge amount of money. But there are two fundamental problems. First, that is not enough money to sustain the current force, given the fact that internal annual real cost growth of 5 to 7% a year for highly expensive and capable weapons and people is required. If you add inflation of 8 to 10%, that means just to stay even, we're going to have $1 trillion defense budget next year, which is not going to happen. Second, we have a personnel manning problem. The number of people who are eligible physically, mentally, morally, and legally are reduced greatly. So the cohort of 17 to 25-year-olds not only is low, but 1 out of 11 want to serve in the military. So how the military is going to be able to be manned in the future is really exceedingly difficult. So those are all huge problems that we're going to be facing.
And it seems like $858 billion is not going to be enough for that. Talk of a future spending bill for defense, or are they just hoping that this omnibus bill keeps it funded through this time next year, and then they'll deal with it again next year?
Absolutely. And so this just represents the problems we face now. In my book, The Fifth Horseman and the New Mad, I have three chapters on what we need to do in terms of a new national security and defense strategy, foreign policy, and a new military. And the argument I make is that if you take a look at how the Ukraine war has been fought, we can have the equivalent of a porcupine defense in Europe would deter any kind of Russian attack, and a similar defense in the Pacific that would keep China within the first island chain that runs basically from the Sea of Japan in the northeast all the way around through Taiwan, Indonesia, to Vietnam. And we can probably do it instead of having 1.4 million active duty people, around 1 million, which would take care of the recruiting problem. And instead of spending about $860 billion, we can probably do it for $650 or $700 million. But these are things we need to think through because I think, as I said, we have the wrong strategy. It's not affordable, and we're not going to be able to man it.
Right. And also, when you just look at this $858 billion price tag in this bill, it just says defense spending. That's all I've been able to find about, just generic term defense spending. Do they really specify in detail what it goes for?
The omnibus bill, there are two bills you have to realize. The omnibus bill is 4,100 pages long. Then there's the National Defense Authorization Act. What people don't appreciate is that Congress has three different processing: the budgeting process that allocates money in general terms, the authorization process, which merely gives the authorization to spend, and then finally the 12 appropriation bills, which give the right to be able to spend money. And so the National Defense Authorization Act, which is the middle of these three, goes into great detail as to where the money is going to be going. And the Appropriations Act just provides money to do that.
Yeah, and I think we've talked before about how probably shouldn't be shoving all this stuff into one big bill. It's just kind of reminding me of the Japanese strategy during World War II, where they were looking for the decisive battle that would resolve the war. You know, here we're looking for the decisive bill that resolves the funding issues. Didn't work then. I don't think it's going to work here.
Well, worse than that, it gives members of Congress the means to avoid any kind of responsibility, because in voting for the bill, they don't have to take accountability for voting for things at which they opposed. They just said, look, I've got to vote for the bill, otherwise government will shut down. And even though I may have been adamantly opposed to and pick a topic, they don't have to admit to that, which I think is seriously wrong. But that's the nature of government. It's been that way for the last 25 years. And unless we get people who are prepared to stand up and be counted and not let the extreme left and the extreme right in this country dominate things, common sense will not prevail. And that's the message in my book. We need common sense. This country has got all sorts of things going in its favor, but unfortunately a broken government is something with which we have to deal. And as I argue, massive attacks of disruption, and we see that vividly right now with this huge once-in-a-generation storm that's paralyzing much of America and disrupting the holidays, is just one more example of disruption. And we've seen what happened with COVID that killed a million Americans, more who died in battle in every war we fought since 1775. And now you see China being stricken again with COVID, which is very, very likely to spread globally. So these are issues for which we're not prepared. And the Fifth Horseman goes into great detail about how government ought to be redesigned and refocused to deal with all the threats and challenges that we face internally as well as those from abroad.
Right, because right now it just seems like as soon as the storm clears, you know, maybe we don't even, we sensationalize the storm while it's going on. And then as soon as it's clear, we're just sitting there, okay, we'll just sit around on our thumbs and not prepare for the next one. And then sensationalize that. It's like as a society, we're getting some sick pleasure out of sensationalizing whatever emergency we see to the point where that's, we live for the sensation. We don't live for stopping it.
Well, one of the troubles you point out is that we don't plan for the long term. For example, 40 years ago, one of the major think tanks in Washington said, the greatest vulnerability the United States has, now this is 1980, is the electrical power grid. Now tell me, has the power grid become more or less vulnerable in the last 40 years? And the answer is, of course it has. Why have we not done anything about it? You may not know this, but one of the many large transformers that are vital to the transmission of electrical power, if it's destroyed or damaged, the repair time takes 2 or 3 or 4 years because you've got to build a new one, and the only country that's building them right now is Germany. And so there are things that are so obvious. For example, in terms of the Internet, we're not teaching our children what I would call Internet hygiene. We teach children physical hygiene so they don't succumb to disease. But why are we not doing the same thing with the Internet? That's all covered in my book.
Right. And that book, again, is The Fifth Horseman and the New Mad, How Massive Attacks of Disruption Became the Looming Existential Danger to a Divided Nation and the World at Large. Probably would make a great holiday gift if it weren't already the holiday or past it. But folks, always a good time to give a book to someone. And we have more Silk or Joe Show after this break.
Comcast recently released its second Xfinity Cyber Health Report that found 78% of Americans admit to risky online behaviors that open them up to cyber threats. Nuper Davis, Comcast Chief Information Security Officer, shares a way to protect your home and your devices.
Our Cyber Health Report found that nearly 3/4 of Americans believe less than 10 attacks hit their home network every month. The actual number is much higher. 61% believe that devices are protected from threats right out of the box at purchase. Comcast's xFi Advanced Security Service protects home networks from cyber threats and is free to all internet customers with the xFi Gateway. As the number and complexity of cyber threats grow daily, we use smart tools and technologies across our network, and we offer multiple layers of protection to help keep our customers safe.
To learn more, go to comcastcorporation.com/cyberhealthreport.
Tis the season of magic, but it's also the season of spending. The holidays can offer opportunities to have conversations with your kids about finances and starting good habits that will stick long after the holiday dust settles. Matt Gramata, head of family and student banking at Chase, explains options to help families with kids and teens manage their budgets.
The holiday season is an ideal time to introduce kids to important financial concepts like wants versus needs, spending versus saving, and budgeting to make sure you have enough for everyone on your gift list. Chase built its financial literacy tools and products such as Chase First Banking, Chase High School Checking, and Chase College Checking to help kids and teens understand money basics at every age. We find that having these important conversations with kids sooner rather than later can make a difference in their financial future. Chase offers resources and tools to help drive these conversations to ensure the new year is started off on the right foot.
Visit chase.com/student banking to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
All right, welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. So earlier this month, Dr. Fauci was, you know, our favorite individual, was responding to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' idea of starting his own investigation into the COVID vaccine and possible harms caused by it because of severe misinformation coming from the government and the CDC. And Dr. Fauci's out there, you know, citing some research by some group called the Commonwealth Fund saying that the vaccines saved over 3.2 million lives and averted 18.5 million hospitalizations. I don't understand where he's getting that figure, though, or how they could possibly know that that's what happened. It seems like they're basing on a lot of assumptions, especially since Kaiser Permanente found that if you were vaccinated, you were more likely to get COVID. But joining us now to talk about Fauci speaking out against Ron DeSantis' efforts to look into the COVID vaccine, which Fauci seems to think is the, I guess, first perfect medication that we've ever developed as a species, we have Ann Vandersteel, co-chair of the Zelenko Foundation. She is a former president and co-host on Your Voice America. Ann, appreciate you being here. How are you today?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I am great. And you're right. This is insanity at its highest level right now. And I applaud Ron DeSantis for standing up a grand jury to go ahead and look into this complete and utter scandal, atrocity, assault on human life. Frankly, it's genocide what Fauci has, basically deployed on planet Earth here. But most importantly, I think we need to consider that, you know, the glaring evidence of the Department of Medical and Epidemiological Data, as I stand here on the Mayport Naval Station, my son is out playing golf right now. He's in the Navy. And, of course, we know about Lloyd Austin Force vaccinating, our military. Thank God for the incredible heroics of Tom Renz and Todd Callender, heroes at Liberty Council as well, who fought those mandates and gotten a stay of execution, essentially. But the data speaks for itself. Look at this, 1,100% increase in all-cause mortality across the gold standard for healthcare data coming from our military in just 11 months, the first 11 months since they administered the COVID shot. You cannot deny the data. In fact, Pfizer was doing everything they possibly could to cover up the data. But fortunately, we had some judges see clearly that that needed to be exposed, and it's coming out. So Fauci is basically lying to the world. It's disgusting, and I applaud DeSantis for doing what he needs to do. I wish more governors had the backbone that he does to stand up and make the same inquiries as Ron DeSantis is.
Right. And even in pro-vaccine Australia, where they forced everyone to get a vaccine, otherwise lose their jobs because their government had the power to do that, that they finally developed this fund for if you've been hurt by the vaccine, the government will pay you off sort of as an apology there. And you think of anyone as staunchly pro-vaccine as Australia, who were so pro-vaccine, they forced everybody there to get one. If they're acknowledging, at least in that way, that something went wrong with it, why aren't we seeing that here?
Well, again, it always seems like America seems to bring up the rear on all of this, thanks to the incredibly backwards court system. Although, as of late, we're starting to see our Supreme Court move more expeditiously. And I thank in large part to the workings of the American people who have sent the Supreme Court tens of thousands of affidavits that, you know, it's basically educating the Supreme Court on the maxims of law and the fact that we, the people, can fire them at will based on our founding fathers, lawyers like John Locke. You know, read John Locke chapters 216, 218, 220. It clearly spells out what the civic duty of we, the people, is, where the government and when the government that we supposedly elect, is not serving us, we fire them. And so I think we're starting to see our courts do an about face. I mean, off topic a little bit, but just watch what Judge Thompson is going to do down in Arizona. He seemed to be giving some serious attention to detail with the case that was being made down there on the shenanigans that happened in Arizona during the 2022 midterms. And of course, this will be a reflection of 2020 as well. So I do think we're going to get to see justice here, but it's going to take a little bit of time. It requires our courts to wake up and understand that we, the people, know the law and that the legislature is to write the law and they're supposed to enforce it. And as of the last so many years, we haven't seen true enforcement, but we're starting to see it now. So we have to remind them who's the boss. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah, another aspect of this issue is the medical industry itself. You have hospitals, for example, that have deals with Big Pharma where they just went and fired anyone who wasn't vaccinated, and just this really strong push from the medical community for you to get vaccinated and resisting this side of the vaccine in any way, even pointing out, yes, it probably does have flaws. You could be putting your job on the line.
Well, isn't that what you would call fascism when you have this so-called nice-sounding public-private partnership, when the government agency of unelected bureaucrats who've been put in place by selected bureaucrats. Let's be clear. We are now learning these people were not really elected. They were selected thanks to the election theft that's been going on for years. But you have unelected bureaucrats making policy on the rest of the citizens who pay for these taxes, basically building their own gallows when these mandates are coming down to force them to take a clot shot, which has got just very horrific lack of safety and efficacy data that's putting people in the ground. We've lost over 1 million people in the United States alone to the vaccine. Let's just be very, very clear about this. And this is what Dr. Zelenko spoke about regularly. He was really anti the jab. He spoke about, you know, decapitating the head of the serpent, and he was 100% right. That's exactly what we need to do. And the serpent we're looking at is the United States government at this time. So we have public-private partnerships that are implementing, you know, so-called clot shots on people. We need to address the fact that that's wholly unconstitutional, and it's against our God-given rights to body sovereignty.
Right, and against our right to not be ran by fascists. So just, there you go, the FDA. They, without any testing whatsoever, the FDA decided, well, you know what, the vaccines are probably safe for 6 months and under.
How would they know that? How would they know that? They're the guinea pigs are the American people right now. In fact, they're the people of the world. We are the actual human trial. In fact, Prime Minister Bibi over in Israel was actually talking about how he spoke to Alexander Borla over at Pfizer, and that they were thrilled to be the human guinea pigs over in Israel. And you know, they didn't know what the outcomes were going to be from these vaccines, but they were looking forward to finding out. When in fact, we know from the Pfizer data of testing, and we also know from the animal trials on mRNA vaccine years ago, that every animal died. This is true premeditated genocide. I can't say it any more clearly. And Anthony Fauci knows all about it. In fact, Anthony Fauci knew all about the fact that when Dr. Zelenko came forward about hydroxychloroquine in March of 2020, and Trump read that, acknowledged that on his podium one day during the press rally or press conference, I should say, when Anthony Fauci heard this, he actually had the audacity to say, we need to do, you know, clinical trials on this. But he'd already done clinical trials. He'd actually tested hydroxychloroquine back in 2003 on coronavirus, and he knew it was efficacious. So there's so much lying, deceit, obfuscation of the truth, and fraud. I don't know if there are enough gallows in the country right now to handle what's coming for these people.
All right, I'm back. Right. And it's really horrific, too, because all this money flying around just encourages this sort of thing to continue happening. You have, for example, Moderna. They went from being, what, near bankruptcy before the pandemic. Now their owners are among the top billionaires in the world. It's really sick that they're profiting off the misery and suffering that they're inflicting.
It's so true. In fact, Eric Trump has even made note of this. He's talked about the Moderna stock price going from below $20 to over $300 in less than a year for a company that never made a vaccine before and successfully brought any drug to market. This is who you trust to put stuff that doesn't even, you know, you put that clot shot in your arm without any safety data, without any clinical trials on humans, and without anything posted on its package insert. That giant piece of paper you unfold in the vaccine shot says intentionally left blank. Well, they're intentionally leaving it blank because they don't want you to know what all of the ingredients are in this clot shot. Because if you actually looked it up, you would see you're basically injecting stuff that is carcinogenic into your body and should not even be put into humans. I mean, the other data coming out now as well, and it has been for some time, thanks to some incredible work of doctors like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny and Dr. Judy Mikowicz, Barbara Lowe Fisher, Maureen McDonnell. These women have stood in the gap for, you know, the vaccination problems we have in this country and the cumulative effects of aluminum, which is an adjuvant in the vaccines that are going into our children's arms. And we wonder why the rates of autism are skyrocketing in this country. Well, you only need to listen to women like this who, I said, stood in the gap and spoken out against the poisons that are being put into our children's arms, and then you know the answers. And this, again, is what Anthony Fauci doesn't want you to know. In fact, it's what the whole medical industrial complex doesn't want you to know. They don't want you to know the truth because it's too profitable to put needles in arms versus using a generic, safe, and efficacious drug that's been on the WHO, yes, the World Homicide Organization, has actually classified hydroxychloroquine as safe and efficacious, and it's been on that list of medications to use for 70 years. So there really is no reason to even consider other options at this point, when early intervention with HCQ per Dr. Zelenko's instructions and his protocol would have sufficed. We could have saved many more millions of lives. And thank God for Dr. Zelenko. You can read about his journey on those decisions of what he went up against in his book, Dr. Zelenko, How to Decapitate the Serpent. It's on our website at thefreedomfoundation.org.
All right, Anne Vandersteel, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show today to talk about all of this. Listeners, you can go check out that link, because we are coming into a break, but don't forget to come back because we have more show coming up.
It's so important for Americans and their families to talk about kidney health and develop a plan of action, because 37 million Americans, or 1 in 9 Americans, have kidney disease, and 90% of them don't know they have it. Yet it's a leading cause of death in this country. Some of the latest developments in kidney research and care are really exciting. Over the past 5 years, there's been an explosion in development of new treatments that, if started early enough, can really slow, almost stop kidney disease in its tracks and slow that progression to kidney failure. There are a number of new initiatives that are helping to raise awareness about kidney health, including the American Society of Nephrology's United for Kidney Health, launched 2 years ago. In addition, we partner with other societies around the country, including the National Kidney Foundation, which launched a partner awareness campaign to educate patients. If you want more information, come to www.asn-online.org.
We start with 23andMe, which gives you access to your DNA, genetic insights backed by science, more than 150 personalized reports, and 2,000 regions for ancestry. Olay's Cleansing and Nourishing Body Wash is a great self-care gift. Infuses moisture 10 layers deep with that hyaluronic acid. Find out more at Olay.com. And Secrets Aluminum-Free Deodorant Collection offers 48-hour odor protection, 3 times more odor fighters, a fantastic stocking stuffer idea. Chocolate is always popular, and Lindt's iconic Lindor Truffles are a holiday classic, available in festive gift bags or boxes at retailers nationwide. Cash is always popular, and you can send it digitally easily and quickly through Venmo or PayPal. You can even personalize your greeting with custom wraps. Just download the apps using Apple or Google Play app stores. You can find all this at my website, marissabraney.com.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface, like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Hi!
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Thank you for staying with the Silk or Joe Show for this hour. We are wrapping up now with Gordon Knight, owner of P.S. Knight, a publisher of electrical guidebooks and also author of Deep Six Diaries. Gordon, appreciate you being here. How are you today?
Very well. How's life on your end?
Doing fine over here. Thank you. So I just got to tell you, during looking at what's going on with the Deep Six Diaries and what's going on with all that, it's just absolutely bizarre to me. Well, explain to our listeners what's happening.
Sure. Well, I'm a small publisher. I publish electrical guidebooks. And for the last 11 years, the government of the country of Canada has been trying to put my business out of business using quite a few nefarious tactics. We're trying to defend against that. This book really is the story of government corruption targeting the little guy. Joe, when you look at a lot of conservative figures out there in the news, like a Michael Flynn or something, I'll pick on him. He's been targeted by the administrative state, but he has a lot of high profile. He can draw on a lot of resources in PR and financially to defend himself. But for every Mike Flynn that's out there, there are like thousands of Americans who are being targeted who don't have that profile. They're the little guys. And this book really is a story of one little guy being targeted and trying to fight back as best he can. You know, Joe, the whole thing really began with our publications. I said we're a small business. Most of the time I am the business, so it's that small. But we've been around for decades. And in the last decade and a half or so, the Canadian government started to compete against us in the country of Canada. That is, they publish their own guidebooks in competition with the people that they're regulating, which is a conflict of interest to start with, but they did it. And if you're familiar with civil service business tactics, you know they're not famously gifted at running businesses. And they were having problems with their guidebooks. They just weren't selling very much. We were still dominant in the market. And so they started using the powers of government to try to suppress our publication in order to make more money for themselves with their publication. That's sort of the origin of the whole thing. And you know, Joe, they got really frustrated with us that we weren't going bankrupt fast enough. And so they started launching multiple litigations against us. The first of these was quite entertaining. They argued in court that they own the rule of law itself privately, because if they own the law, then we can't quote from it in our guidebooks. And I mean, rhetorically, how do you give instructions on complying with electrical law if you can't refer to the law? So this went on for probably 3 or 4 years. And eventually they managed to get a court ruling that affirmed that indeed laws in Canada are privately owned by whomever drafted them. And that ruling was gifted them specifically in order to allow the civil service to monetize their legislative activities. And it went downhill from there. So we've had a total of 8 lawsuits against us by the Civil Service of Canada, and lasting 11 years. It has not bankrupted us, but I mean, I wouldn't say we're super prosperous at the moment. And this book is really our attempt to get the word out that we've got civil servants on both sides of the border, in Canada and the U.S., that are operating businesses in competition within the market that they're regulating, and they are breaching their own laws in quite a dramatic fashion on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, and I just want to think that here in America, perhaps our courts, because of the rights to the way we derive our rights, would be like, okay, why are we saying that laws are copyrighted now? That's insane. But then I would think that anyone, any court in the Western world would have said something like that. Then suddenly Canada decides, that laws are copyrighted. It's like, what? So to be a lawyer or practice law in court, do you need to buy a special license or something? Pay royalties whenever you cite the law?
Well, almost. There is actually a court exemption that they can quote the law in order to provide testimony, for example. But, I mean, if you've seen inside a lawyer's office, you'll know there are lots of commentaries on the law, legal commentaries, LexisNexis, Thomson Reuters, and on it goes. And every single one of those technically is illegal because they quote the law within the book and it's not quoted inside a courtroom. So it is a surreal law, this business of private ownership of legislation. But honestly, Jill, that's what's on the books right now. And that's what we're kind of stuck with. Now, because this law was passed specifically to enrich the civil service, it is not being enforced uniformly, right? It's being enforced when it's convenient to the civil service. And to your, you know, you mentioned a moment ago that you'd hope that in the Western world you wouldn't have that sort of thing, and certainly in the United States you shouldn't. But you know, Joe, the fact is that civil servants in Canada will have more in common with civil servants in the United States and vice versa than either would have with the citizens of their own country. They regard fellow civil servants as one of us, you know, a fellow team player. We rule the country. We are the elites. This is how they see themselves. And so the rules that you'd expect to be applied evenly aren't applied evenly. They're applied to the convenience of whoever holds the power. In my case, it's the civil service in Canada, even though I'm in Texas, but it is the Canadian civil service that's doing that. And Joe, they get help from the U.S. civil service when they need it. It's a quid pro quo.
Oh, wow. So then here in America, we probably do at some point have to come across this bridge. I don't see how we can do anything preemptive about it, though. The way our legal system is designed, you can't do anything until damages are done. But what's the hope for you at this point? Has it gone already to the top, or are you still able to pursue this?
Well, I mentioned there are 8 litigations running, and it has gone. The one case has gone to the Supreme Court in Canada already. There is a case in the United States that is still in sort of phase one, and everything is delayed down here. Corona really delayed everything in court. But to be very frank with you, we've kind of written off the cases in Canada because I'm not a General Flynn level profile person. Mm. They've been able to get away with a lot more. Honestly, Joe, we've had secret hearings that have been held in court where all of my defenses, so evidence files, depositions, testimonies, affidavits, everything like that is struck from the record by the civil service so that only their own arguments are placed in court. There's no opposition allowed to what the government wants. We've had secret hearings where I'm not allowed to show up. I'm not allowed to speak in court. And if you can imagine, I mean, when no opposition is permitted, they're going to win a lot of the cases, aren't they? So the question we faced was, is it really worthwhile to defend against this stuff in Canada in that context? And I think the answer is no, because the result is sort of preordained. So we are fighting in the U.S. We have lost, or we've written off the Canadian portion, and we're trying with the Deep Six Diaries book to, as I said, to get the word out there, certainly. Also, you know, I do have an ulterior motive. We're trying to make enough money to afford lawyers. So between those two, you know, that's our plan going forward.
All right. Now, real quick, where can we get a copy of Deep Six Diaries?
DeepSixDiaries.com is the place to go. Deep6Diaries.com. It's also available on Amazon. Either way, same price. Great book.
All right, Gordon Knight, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe show today. And listeners, Deep Six Diaries, go look it up because we are done with you now. So you got plenty of time to browse the internet. Also, give a hit at MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, our website, and also social media, Getter, GETTR.com, at Silk or Joe show. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.